The world is a thought pattern, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The world is a spirit, which is a thought pattern that works on your nervous system from within to the outer man, if you've never been born again. You've got the world in you. And that world is a thought pattern that is warring against God, or the preacher who from without is talking to you, standing at the heart's door knocking, saying, "You open and let me in, I'll come in stuck with you." Now, if you've been born again, if you've had a new birth, then God's on the inside. Not the world, but the mind of Christ, which is also a spirit. The spirit of Christ, the thought pattern of the eternal God, which is on the inside of you, and it is warring against Satan, which is working through the outer man, the five senses, to be able to establish in the body his will on earth. Physically speaking. It has to come from within, which is heaven, into the earth, taking in a physical dimension now, coming to the body. It has to come from within, coming to the body. How many of you remember me preaching about Daniel praying here, and for the interference you had with Satan between heaven and earth?
A little tiny baby from within, and then from there
attention that he can serve.
Amen.
Maturing into the fullness of stature. A little babe from within coming forth. A little babe rising up on the inside, keep his eyes open. Growing into the mind of God. A translation taking place. A real, genuine, God-given rapture taking place. A translation. You say, Brother Pike, I don't get it. That's because you're not spiritual. You need to wake up. You need to get spiritual, folks. You need to shake yourselves. You eat too much and pray too little. You gossip too much. You think too much. That's what the Bible said to keep you from making the translation. What is the translation? We need to wake up. We need to be spiritual. Because if we don't get spiritual, we won't make the translation. What is the rapture? Can you tell me what the rapture is? Somebody said it's when we caught up. That's not the rapture. Come on, somebody say amen. You act just like I'm telling you about a strange thing. You're supposed to be my children. You're supposed to know what I'm talking about. Like in the vision, when I stood up in heaven, I said, you see the things happening in heaven and you didn't see them. Now, what are you trying to say? That's your question in your heart. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say you're looking at it wrong. You say, but you can't prove that. I know it's true. Because the frame of mind is filled this morning. If you have to look at it right, you have that kind of frame of mind. It's something wrong. Probably the great cloud, the tornado, that fell on the campground affected you. What is that cloud? It's the carnal mind. What is the rapture? The rapture isn't when we leave this earth and we're standing here and all of a sudden we begin to go, that isn't the rapture. The rapture is when we redeem this body. When we redeem this body. That when my thoughts, proportionally speaking, are changed into the mind of God. And then, portion by portion, that glory is released into my blood genetics to eradicate sin, sickness, evil, spots, blemishes, lust, and every fiber of my body stained out with the glory of God. That's the rapture. That's the rapture. Somebody said, but we're going up yonder to be with God. I don't see where you get that. I don't see where you get that. Somebody said, well, if we're going up there to be with God, well, according to what I understand, he's going to come down here and be with us. The Bible said he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. Out there to believe, he's going to stay down here with us. Brother Eddie, he doesn't want his will done up there. He's already done up there. He wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. God's coming down here. That's why Brother Brown did what he did in a type of the millennium over here before it come in. That's what America's a type of. The land of milk and honey. Then we said when the Ancient of Days came and the Celestial came, everything vanished away. Now then, you say, who is this Ancient of Days? In the beginning was the Ancient of Days. Is that right? Who was the Ancient of Days? When the Ancient of Days said, the Bible said, that he was to look upon like a great jasper stone. Is that right? The Ancient of Days came. And the Bible said everything fled away from before his face. Everything fled away before his face. Why? Because the Ancient of Days had appeared. Who was the Ancient of Days? He was the great eternal spirit. He was the Word of Revelation. That must have been Jesus. My brother, Jesus was the veil in which he walked. Jesus was the veil in which the Ancient of Days walked. Jesus was flesh and bone. He was the temple in which the Ancient of Days, the eternal spiritual Word, resided or tabernacled while he was in this world.
Amen.
The Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days coming down, making himself a human body, coming down to earth. Why? That he might be here, that he might tabernacle among me. Is that right?
Amen.
It was his purpose, it was his desire to come down out of heaven and tabernacle among me. Why did that cloud come down out of heaven instead of over our head like it did? Why did it do it? It came down out of heaven, came down out of heaven and went inside of the body.
Amen.
To tabernacle among men, God's will. To tabernacle among men. It was God's way to be there. The Word. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that this thing is a thought pattern. It's a changing. It's a word. It's a great mind. And wherever that mind goes, It's just like the great sunlight of heaven. Once that mind comes, it's great. It's just like the great light of heaven. It comes, and everything on the earth is overshadowed with the great light, or rather lit up with the great light. And the shadows flee away in nothing. When the noonday sun comes, where is the shadows? During the night, there are shadows. Why? Because the moon is symbolic of the Lord Jesus. It's symbolic of the church. It's symbolic of the light within the veil. It's only a reflector that's picking up the light.
Amen.
That light, that great sunlight, coming into your body, into your soul, that great sunlight, as it comes down to the moon reflects it down to the earth. Is that right?
Amen.
Why? Because the moon and the stars are a type of Christ and the angels in the spiritual dimension.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And it's the mediator between man and God. That's where Calvary comes in. We've got it all taken somewhere where we told it. But now what about the physical dimension of it? The moon and the stars are a type of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which comes back to the ministry that you are standing between the sin of people, which is the world separated from God, and in contact with the great light of Revelation, and the mind is coming through you and coming down to thee. Is that right?
Amen.
They're the dogs that get the crumbs. That's all they get. The loaf of bread is set on the children's table. They share it, and the dogs pick up the crumbs. They just got a few religious crumbs, a Baptist crumb, a Methodist crumb, and some kind of religious crumb out. That's all it is. That's the Bible.
Amen.
Them people don't know nothing about what you're talking about. But here we are, privileged to have the eternal mind of a living God to come down our presence. And we act like they're nothing in you.
That's right. Amen.
It don't make sense. You couldn't have it. You couldn't see it. It's impossible. I have men that come in down yonder. It's a house, and when they feel a little bit, they scream like a lion, running, jumping, hollering, screaming. You couldn't know what I'm talking about. Because it translates. It changes. Somebody said, but I hear. Jesus said, having ears, you hear. But you can't hear what the Spirit says to the church. Having eyes, you see, Jesus said. But you don't see what the Father is always doing, like Jesus said. Now what is it? It's a change. It's a translation. God coming down to earth, tabernacling in man. God wants to come down here. His will be done on earth as in heaven. God wants to do something down here in this world. He's trying to get his will done. Somebody said, I'm praying that God will have his way. Have his way what? Well, I want him to have his way. My brother, what he wants you to do is for you to get out of this way and die to yourself and surrender your outer man to where God can change you into the image of Christ.
Amen.
That's the rapture. Is the fountain of water from within the earth springing up into everlasting life. That is to say, coming from within, out of your innermost being, full of rivers of living water, coming out down the avenues of your soul. Be it that turns them down the streets of gold, which is faith, trying to purpose. Cutting, pouring down, trying to get to the body. Trying to get to the body, to redeem the body. To redeem the body is the translation. Not being caught up. When you stand on this earth, when the Bible said Jesus, over the book of Revelation, where it speaks of every eye shall see him. Thessalonians, in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I know that's Bible, but that don't have anything to do with what we're saying. That is the ultimate, all the results of what has taken place. Who ever heard of God in a new car? Going around telling people it's yours. Now, really telling the truth, when you never even purchased a car. That don't make sense, does it? Now, you couldn't do that. See, who ever heard of his car up in here and going up there when you never have been changed? And the way that your mind's there, I know that you know better than that. You mean to tell me that I'm standing here right now and I'm just going to go up to meet God like that? You know better than that. There's got to be a And you know what happens. You know how you lead up to that. And you know what it means when you come to the moment between them and I. Now, you heard me speak. For the sake of them that might not understand, you heard me speak how that just like you fill this room right here with large gases. That will put people asleep. You open the door, you stand there, and every person that comes in, they just go off into sleep. Go off into sleep. Like that simple thing of it, Southern Wales. Every time they were given the presence of that gas, they go going down the steps and they would kill them. Kill them. It's that quick. Till about 3 or 4 was killed, and maybe 7 put in the hospital from them. See, you invite them all into the message. Give them the mind of Christ. Call them the revelation. One here and one there. The door of the ark being open at the end. Once it's closed, then on the inside, you just take a match and you just strike the match and one little spark and everybody goes up the air. That's the change in the moment between them and I. Then, immediately when that change takes place, then we have the earth loses its gravitational power over this body because this body is a constitution of the elements of the ground. It is relative to the ground. Like Einstein's theory of relativity, when he spoke of that great formula concerning potential energy and kinetic energy. See, in other words, what I'm saying is if I'm a composition of the dirt of God's made me out of the dust, then I'm relative to the earth. And the gravitational power is tied to the earth. But if God can change me, which he has done, through the mind of God, and now the body of Christ, I'm not relative to the earth.
Amen.
He doesn't have any dominion over me. Sin is in the earth. What is sin? Sin is gravitation. That's what it is. In the physical dimension, if you break it down tight, the gravitational power that makes you relative to the earth, that is symbolic of sin. That which is relative to that which must perish is sin. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
Amen. Alright now. When this takes place, the gravitational power are lost. Somebody said, Brother White, that couldn't be. But it was. When Peter walked on the water, it had to happen. When he got his mind on the Lord Jesus enough, didn't it happen? Josephus declared that Moses went out from him and stood and was taken out like that. It's obvious that Jesus Christ passed through the process of God, and then after he did, stood over here and was caught up just like that.
Amen.
It's a true fact that Ezekiel was picked up and transported over here and sat down in the bed of dry bones. Brother Brown declares that he himself was taken along. Paul said, come up to the third heaven where in our body I can't tell. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
Jesus stood on the mountain and appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah.
Amen.
He did not have to die to get to glory.
Amen. Already.
Enoch was translated, chained him around the heaven. Amen. Elijah just stepped on board of our chair and went away.
Right.
Somebody said, but how did they do it? The Bible said by faith they do it.
Amen.
Come on, man. Wake up, folks, wake up. Brother J.T. said he had a vision the other night, and then he had just 4 or 5 on the way, 2 or 3 of them. What? Wake up. There's a midnight crowd. Wake up.
Praise God.
Trim your lights. Get ready. Something's happening. The bridegroom's coming. You better get up. Trim your lights. You're going to meet him. He's coming. Now, what is it? When the Ancient of Days came, the Ancient of Days, he came. When he came, everything vanished in the method. What does the mind of God do? What does the mind of God do? All the invisible things of God from the creation of the world understood by the things which do appear, which means they're tied, shadows, symbols. Is that right?
Amen.
Folks, listen. If you miss this, you won't make the rapture. Somebody said, I believe with what you want. Those scriptures can't be broken. And the Bible teaches that you're not going to make the rapture if you miss this. This is the rapture taking place. The chains are catching away. That's the result of the rapture. That's just the going up. That's all. That's just the going up. Now you say, what's rapture? I know that rapture means called away. I know that. Rapture means called away to the world. That's the rapture because that's the application that they give us. But I'm not talking about the rapture because I don't have any Bible for a rapture. I don't have any Bible for rapture. I don't have any spiritual terminology for rapture. I don't find any place in the Bible where the Spirit spoke of rapture. The Bible said there was a change from glory to glory. And then the ultimate of that change was in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And the rapture part of it was just where it went up after God.
right, amen.
If that isn't true, I'm a false prophet and I'm going to let the big slide over. Tell me one other. Why did God set a fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints if they don't need perfection? Why did he say that we know in part, which is from glory to glory? Why? Why is it his word and spirit is created that when it comes into our mind, that it creates us anew in God? If these things are not true, why? Somebody said, well, brother, why? The fivefold ministry means that you got to tell them to quit dipping, snuffing, chewing bubble gum in church and smoking and all the things you all do anyway. People ought to have better sin to do that.
Amen.
What a hell of a preacher man to do that. Brother John wouldn't love to do that in school in his class, Bob. Chewing bubble gum.
Amen.
You don't have to be a Christian to do those things. Now, I know we're supposed to preach for you to get away from lust and cover up your neck and those things. I know that. But brother, that isn't what he's talking about when he's talking about the church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. If that's true, then why does the Bible emphasize the fact that you're not saved by your righteousness and all that you can do is just filthy rags? If that's perfection, why did he call it filthy rags? That isn't what he's talking about. The Bible says we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. The fivefold ministry. Well, you can't believe in that which you don't see. Faith comes by the hearing and hearing by the thought pattern. And you get the thought pattern perpetually speaking. And the preacher's got to preach the thought pattern to you before he can get it. Somebody said, do you believe that translated me? No. But he's got to put it up here before he can get down here. It's the minister's job to put it up here. Everybody will eventually get it up here. But my brother, what I'm trying to tell you this morning isn't that you don't hear me with these ears and see me with these eyes. But I'm speaking that down in here you're not recording. I can tell you you're recording. Because when I stand up here and speak to you, I can go on all right. You can't stop me. Or you can stand up and do like this and that and yawn and do what you want to. I can stand here and tell you the scripture all night long. I've done it. But that ain't what I'm feeling. But when I feel a hunger, a thirst, a drought, then the Holy Spirit is taking what I'm saying, it's hitting your thought pattern, it's changing the revelation, and it's going down into your heart where the blood stream is, where your spirit is, and it's getting into your spirit, and going throughout your entire body, and every blood cell, every blood genetic, and changing you from glory to glory, and forming an inner man through every fiber of your body. This is what I'm speaking of. When the Ancient of Days said everything melted away, why did it melt away? Because the Word, when the Word unveiled, Jesus is the Word in the veil. Revelation is God the Word out of the veil. Christ was God out of the veil. Jesus was God in the veil. Is that right? Jehovah tabernacled in the body. Brother Brown signified God in the veil, the millennium. This movement signified God out of the veil in the Ancient of Days. Why? Because there is nothing to stand before. There is absolutely nothing to stand before.
Amen.
Because if the mind of God comes forth, I don't care if somebody mocked, said, oh, so these people down there said, well, boy, if I come along, said to get a revelation out of them. Well, that was a foolish statement. A blood is a revelation. I made the statement the other day. It's a type of a demon that gets into the body that works corruption and brings up a bad odor of sin from the body in the presence of God. It's a type bringing forth spiritual corruption. That's what it is. If the man was spiritual, he never even thought like that, let alone said it. There's nothing but what it will dissolve and pass away at the coming of the Ancient of Days.
Amen.
For God the Spirit, the revelation, is the Ancient of Days. And everything dissolves and passes away. It's no longer in existence. When they stood and they spoke the world into existence, God spoke into existence, how did he do it? He veiled himself and his activities. He veiled his utterance. He veiled his expressions because the world is a veil. That's all the world is, the veil. That's when the Bible says the veil, the shadows thereof shall pass away. But the spirit, which is the revelation, shall never pass away. If your body remains part
the way. Everything must give way. For when the mind of God appears, everything is dissolved. It's decomposed. How do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Just like Einstein. Brother Johnny was a type of the ancient days. He was a type of the mastermind. When he came, he had the great brilliance that no man had ever attained to. And when he looked at things, he looked at them through a dimensional mind that nobody had ever reached. And everything would decompose before. He would look at a post and the post would decompose. Come on. Why would the post decompose? Because he could see through it. Like Jesus, when he came about the earth, he had that mind. If that mind would cause things to decompose, he'd walk right through it. Is that right? Why would? Because you are under the control of a mind that makes you bump into shafts like that. You start off with the wall. The wall is nothing but a figment, a sphinx. It's a shaft. You can't pass through it with your mind because you are imprisoned in this world by the types of jazz. Is that right?
That's right. Man.
You're in prison. The world is in your heart. It's a thought pattern. You can't get away from it. You're in prison by it. But God can put the mind of Christ within you, and the mind of Christ can cause everything to be composed. Then it's lost its gravitational powers. And then when the powers of gravitation are off, then what happens? You can walk through the wall. You see how Satan held in the dark through the thought.
Amen.
He hates that. He hates that. He knows that this is ever instilled in the hearts of the children of God, there will never be nothing else that ever takes place.
Amen.
See how he held it all to that time. I'm going to say it again.
Praise God.
Amen.
Why not?
Einstein, the great mastermind that could look at something and would just completely decompose, be gone. Just look at it, knowing that everything was a form of energy. And he called it potential energy. That means it's not in action, it's not active. Like water, potential energy. Turned into steam, it's kinetic energy, it's power. And Einstein coming into that mind, elevated above anybody else, reached a dimension that nobody had reached, and could look at everything and would decompose by his theory of relativity. Is that right? He said it is mind over matter. Is that right? And he proved that it was true. That he could turn potential energy into an explosiveness that would destroy the entire world. Is that right? Because it was a type of the ancient of days, the great mind of God, which is elevated higher than everything, that spiritually speaking, sees that we are a massive people of potential energy, spiritually speaking.
Yes, Lord.
And that the mind of God, like the fire against the wall, can create the vaporized form of us, turn us into a kinetic energy, a power for God, like a locomotive with a steam moving. Nothing could stand before such power. With that mind, as long as I'm in prison, with the word in the heart, the thought pattern of Satan, which is the type of shadow of the tree of knowledge, my own understanding, as long as I'm like that, I am in prison within that. And I can't do anything about it. I walk up to that wall, which is nothing but a figment of imagination. As a shadow, I can't penetrate it because I'm within the boundaries of my own thinking. I made it a wall. Somebody's got cancer, they make it a wall, they can't get past it. Somebody's got heart trouble, they made it a wall, they can't get past it. Somebody with some kind of poverty, they never do any better because they can't get past it. They set up a wall of resistance. But if they can get faith, then they can penetrate it. They can go past it. Like Jesus coming by the grave, walk over that wall. He had the mind of God in his heart. He had broke the prison. He had gotten out of the gravitational powers of bondage. prostitutes, bailers, blockaders. Is that right? Faith toward the mind of God. Thou prophetest of perverting the truth and making the truth a lie, all the truth a lie. If you reverse it, then it constitutes obstacles that causes you not to be able to get to God. But if you can believe God, get it turned around the right way, instead of believing the types and shadows and the power, which is Satan's spirit, there will be a veil, a little old partition between you and God, God's mind. My brother, you just completely eradicated, dissolved, decomposed. Take it out of the way. Because to believe is to decompose every obstacle that gets in front of you. It can be done. But it's mind over matter. In this world, it's man's mind over matter. In the world to come, it is God's mind over matter, if you want to use a symbolic term of speech. It is God's mind. We are spirit. He that is born of spirit is spirit. I want to say this again. When God spoke the world into existence, and there's a lot of things I want to get to that had to do with some presently happenings that happened in the last few days. But when God spoke the world into existence, the way he did it, he just created a veil, which was a symbol of heavenly things. That's all. Just some types and shadows. All the invisible things of God understood by this. Is that right?
That's right.
All he did was step into a veil. He, who was a great mind of life, revelation, he just eased himself right into a beast veil. And it was typified of Calvary, that which was made sin. He smote it, opened it, opened up, and stepped out as a response of Christ. Is that right?
That's right.
He brought the tree of knowledge, which denoted the law, to know good and evil, to bring under condemnation, to create the obstacles and to frame the mind of resistance, so that we could see how little and finite we are, that we might be able to take hold of a great hand and by faith penetrate this veil in the glass darkly, through the glass darkly. In that Paul says, in the reading of the Old Testament, that is a veil over the minds of the people. Which veil is done away within Christ. That is to say, the mind of Christ decomposes the shadows, and there are no longer types. You see the real thing. Moses made all things according to the pattern shown in the mount. That was types he made. But the real thing Moses saw in heaven.
Hallelujah.
That's how he made the types by. God did that. And when God, which was the Spirit of God, went into a beastly veil of human intellect or of a man's thought pattern, from that time on, Satan had the upper hand, and we were subject to vanity of sickness, sorrows, and all the other things. That's why it is an absolute with God. It is imperative for you and for me to listen to every word of the minister.
That's right.
They are there to perfect our faith in that mind of God is proportionally, it is presented unto you. Once it is presented proportionally, it's just like in school, which is a symbol. If you leave off some of that school and you don't get enough to constitute a continuity, when you get over yonder, Brother John, you ain't going to get a diploma. I don't care how good a student you was. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care how much you learned in the first grade or the 10th grade. If you didn't get enough to constitute a continuity, that when you get to the end of the trail, you're not going to have what is referred to as an education. Because what you have had to do to get an education is to pick up back in what we call history or his story, and take his story plus her story plus his story plus his thoughts and her thoughts and on down, and you got a continuity that goes all the way back. That's what education is. That's all it is. What he figured, what she imagined, what they constituted, and what they put together don't amount to a hill of beans. Now, but when you go back to get God's mind, you've got to do it the same way. There was Moses, there was Elijah, there was Adam, all the way back and all the way up. There's a fivefold ministry of today. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to let you go. I don't really enjoy expounding the Word of God, but I tell you what, Satan has sure created a misery because he didn't want this to go over today. It's very grievous to me, and I know the Lord must be grieved because it's grievous to me. But I want to say, in closing, that God spoke it into existence by creating an intellectual veil, and the world, all of the world, is nothing more than an intellectual thought pattern, a spirit in your heart. Then, my brother, today, it is not the master that speaks, but it's the Heavenly Father that speaks from within you. And that Heavenly Father that is speaking the world out of existence, transporting, transfiguring, translating, transforming you into another dimension. As quick as Adam went in the line of the beast, he was out of that dimension. Just as soon as it becomes bad in his heart, not in his head. He knew that an awful went out of God. But it didn't bring a condemnation until the anointing came. When the anointing walked in the darkness, put in his heart. Condemnation here. He did not feel too bad about his long stay here. But then come the excommunication, expulsion of the government. Now, if God is again the earth, building humanity, he is speaking again to the people, saying, my words are spirit. That is their revelation. And my words are life. And he is trying his best to catch your attention long enough to speak that word which is a thought pattern, a beastly thought pattern within your heart. In the thoughts is spirit. To get that spirit out of your heart, that satanic thing that interfered, that fatal. If down deep within your heart, these words from Jehovah can hit you in the heart, and you go out here in the heart and eradicate that thought pattern, he has spoke the world out of existence. He has spoke the world out of existence. Somebody said, Brother Pine, you don't make sense. I've had him talk like that. It don't make sense. But I just think, are we going now? Or is he coming now?
Coming down now.
And he said, he's going to be caught up as Noah to ride over the flood.
Amen.
He said, amen. Just kind of off the earth to where God can sweep it with the judgments, clean it up, do some spring cleaning, which has to do with the resurrection, because I had that in there. Like I said, purging the Father. Now, if that is true, then when we speak the world out of existence, does that mean that we're doing away with the trees? Does it mean that we're doing away with the plagues? What are we doing? If we're speaking the world out of existence, it means a satanic system that has been placed inside of your heart, a conformity to that which is dead, to further the light, to move the shadows, to bring a translation of your mind. Because the same earth that you're standing on right now is going to be the same one that you live on with Christ. As you sit there, we're not trying to speak that out of existence. We're not trying to do that. It is our job. The ancient days is come to do the work in the heart of man that he will do to the natural earth at the end of the week. And by the great light in the physical dimension, which has to come to make the heirs to the millennium, he is moving the world out of your heart because there is no world. So, far as sin is concerned, except in your heart. For God doesn't hate the trees. He doesn't hate the earth. The Bible says he so loved the world. Then we say, well, if he loved the world, why can't we love the world? Why did he tell us not to love the world? God so loved the world in the state that it was in the garden. When he created it, when it was beautiful, when it was clean, like a man marry a woman, he so loves her, while she's pure in her virginity, would not ever come a prostitute or a harlot and see if he loves her. He left to kill her. Is that right? But supposing the man had a way to purify her, bring her back into the same state of virginity she was when he first married, wouldn't he love her? Wouldn't he want her back, the mother of his children? I'm saying this, God so loved his body was like the millennium, like the garden where Adam was, that he gave his only son through the foreknowledge, purpose, the lamb slain in the foundation of the world, that someday he let him die to redeem him, put it back like it was, and so loved him, so beautiful, so refreshing, where people was having such a wonderful time. But he tells you and I that it's on the curse, that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is of the world is the pride of life and the love of the flesh. The world thereof passed away, and in all that liveth do the will of God abide forever. Don't love it in that condition. Whatever you give God will sanctify to you. Pray, and whatever he gives you, let that be yours and give it back to God, because he sanctified that for you. Are you following me? Even your children. Even a wife that's an unbeliever, you'll sanctify on the side of the lady. Doors shall be clean, your children clean, if you take them. What you got is clean, sanctify the prayer. But what I'm saying is, are we trying to get rid of the earth? One generation comes, another goes, the earth abides forever. We're trying to get rid of the mind of Satan, the veil, the middle wall of partition, the evil. You beg not to enter the body, but to eradicate the lust of the flesh that works in your inner chamber, to change to a God image, to be prepared by our God as long. How many of you know that when you die, they're going to run a show car in here, puncture your lungs and all the fluids out. Then catch your jubilee. You take, put a needle in there, run your blood out one way, and run the fluids in another way. If you think more on that, you miss the very church. They said, forget we got to die. We just think we got to eat. We forget we got to meet God. We just think about taking a trip in our car, vacation. But if you realize how short life